hey, I'm going to jump right into it, into our talk this morning. So something I wanted to kind of get us on the same page with, right, is when, as an athlete, or if you are a dancer, or if, let's see, you may be in band, right? And how many of us, let's just do this. How many of us play sports in school? Okay, what about band? All right, let's see, dancers? Any dancers? Awesome. Okay, what else? What else do we have? Theater, drama. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, curling. So, hey, my point is that when we have all these different things that we do and we're involved in, if you are a, let's just use a dancer, for example, if you have a dance recital coming up, you just don't show up to that recital, right, unprepared. Y'all with me? You practice. It's weeks of practice, weeks of preparation. Same with athletes. In different sports, there are different stretches and warm-ups that that prepare you in a way for you to succeed on and off the field, on the field. Y'all with me? And so it's the same as in maybe band. You can't go into the big show at halftime or maybe a band competition without knowing your part to help the whole team as a whole, right? And so we're going to look at a quick video to kind of give an example of that, as a that a team kind of does an unorthodox way to warm up and prepare for their big game. And so check this out. All right, and so we're on the same page here. We're all loose. We're warmed up, right? We're all stretched, okay? Hey, great example of a way that a team prepares. It may be unorthodox, but they go and whoop up on that team on the road. So one of my favorite movies, and just kind of, I know it may be a cheesy way, but kind of gets us into this mindset of a preparation for something, right? A preparation. And so this morning, and really as Thomas, Ben, and I started to talk along with Harrison and Sean of, hey, if the residents and fellows are going to do these next 3 weeks, right, if we're going to help run these next 3 weeks and run this series, what do we want to teach all of us in this room? What did we wish we had learned in 8th grade, or 7th grade, 6th grade? What do we wish we had known about, right, during that time? And so we started talking of saying, okay, hey, we've gone through the Colossians series. That was a Bible, that was a book in the Bible series. We've gone through Multiply. That was an amazing topical example of what friendship looks like, true relationship with one another, with Paul and Barnabas. And it was just a phenomenal series that we're all learning. We realized, okay, hey, we've gone that route. But do we know that there's another half of the Bible? Right? Do we know that, hey, a lot of the times I believe, and even growing up, my dad was a pastor, and throughout my whole life growing up in the church and even in youth groups, just like this, we studied a whole lot of the New Testament, which is great. That's the majority of where Jesus is, where Jesus lived, right? Where Jesus lived his life, Paul's ministry, the church begins. It's very known and popular because of the movements that happen and the things that happen in the New Testament, right? And what we can apply in our lives. But the Old Testament, in my mind, as a junior high kid, was almost like, oh, it's just some fictional characters, these little cool stories of David and Goliath, the kid killing a giant, like, woo, you know what I mean? And just like, hey, you know, different stories, Elijah and Samson, right? Y'all all with me? And so I just hear of these old stories. I'm like, okay, great. Well, where does that play into this? So if you're talking about this Jesus guy in this New Testament, Paul and Barnabas, where did that even come from? So you're telling me that a man just out of nowhere just died for all of our sins, just out of nowhere. And I'm going to teach us this morning, and over the next couple weeks, we're going to go over, no, listen, the Old Testament is what we're going to run through. We're going to study it. Sets the stage for when Jesus comes onto the scene. The Old Testament teaches us and reveals so much about who God is to prepare us to learn who Jesus is and why he walked this earth and why he was perfect and why he was the perfect sacrifice for us, that we can be in this very room this morning. And so we're going to answer one question throughout this series, and is, what is the Old Testament and why should we read it? And so I'm going to hit really quickly on 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All scripture, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Realize it doesn't say half, right? Realize that it doesn't just say that the New Testament, hey, New Testament is breathed out by God. Jesus' teachings only is breathed out by God. No, it says all. all-encompassing, all 66 books that we can learn from so that we may be competent, right? Equipped for every good work of how we live our lives. This is what we base our lives off of if you're a follower in Christ. And so it means the whole book, okay? And so, let's see, why read the Old Testament? This is kind of crazy, though. It's something that just blew my mind this week that I learned was that the New Testament refers back or quotes the Old Testament 855 times. 855 times the New Testament quotes the Old. And so how can we say that, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, or I know my word of God, or I'm studying the word, and I know who Jesus is, I have a relationship with him, if we don't know the context of what he's talking about, and maybe just say Matthew, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus refers back to the Old Testament and a lot of his teachings, and a lot of the words he says, right? And so we have to know, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to learn that. I want to learn what he's saying. I want to learn why he's saying that. Who's the audience? That is all extremely important for us to know who God is and Jesus is alike. And so that's a reason, a big reason why we should study it. And a huge reason is because, like I said, 855 times is crazy. I think it's one of those things that it should almost like a light goes off in our head. Like, hello. Like, hello, I've repeated this multiple times, and I'm back in the Old Testament time and time again. I think we should pay attention, right? If your parents say something over and over and over again, sometimes we just have to realize, like, wait a minute. They've been telling me to make my bed for 3 years, and I haven't done it, and I realize that my room's a mess, and I can't live my life in this. Wait, it actually had a purpose. Like, me making my bed actually helps my day and my happiness as I leave for school, knowing that I have that taken care of, and I can go hang out with friends, knowing that I don't have to go back and clean my room. Wow, man, that's crazy. Like, mom and dad want me to obey. That's actually really good. So anyways, and that's, okay, so why do we understand? I just wanted to put that in a little context of where we are at this morning. And so my first point as I go into this is to stretch your mind and heart to know the whole story, to learn the whole story. It's beyond just Jesus. Yes, it all points to him. But how do we get there? What's the point? What's this overall story? Why even read 39 extra books? It's about the whole story. Listen, the Old Testament tells a story. The whole Bible tells a narrative following a people group. Does anybody know what that people group is? What is it? Disciples. Okay, yeah, the disciples in the New Testament. Yes, it follows them. But what is the whole Bible or the Old Testament specifically following? God's chosen people. Who are they? Israelites. Great. The Israelites. Okay. So who are the Israelites? Where did they come from? Okay. We know Adam and Eve, the story of the creation of the world, right? And then in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, God promises Abraham, right, to be, and says, Abraham, you will be the father of many nations. Okay. Abraham was old in age. He was like, yeah, right, God. Are you kidding me? He's close to 100 years old. I can't have a baby. They end up having children. Okay. He ends up having a baby and he's saying, oh, wow, you actually will keep your promises. You will keep your covenant, as Ben will touch on next week. And so then his grandson, Jacob, so he has children. Okay. Then his grandson, Jacob, in Genesis 32, wrestles with God, right? Because he was living in his own way. He was living in selfishness and he would deceive others time and time again. Okay. And in Genesis 32, he wrestles with God because God says, hey, I have a purpose for you. You are a descendant of my son, Abraham. You are his grandson, and I have chosen to be faithful to y'all. And I'm going to wrestle with you to realize you cannot do this on your own. You have to surrender to me. And so Jacob surrenders to God, right? And then in Genesis chapter 32, and his name is changed to Israel. And so here is where the nation of Israel was born, okay, through this man named Jacob. And remember the promise that God made Abraham in Genesis 12, that you'd be the father of many nations. So in Genesis 49, we see that Jacob then has 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 nations, right? How crazy is that? Wait a minute. Wait, God promised Abraham they'd be the father of many nations, and here we are, right, a few chapters later, and here he is through his grandson creating these nations. God's on to something. He's up to something right now right? And he's chosen this people to live through, to be faithful to prove himself to show his love to, okay? And so stretch our mind. We got to know the whole story. And so in the whole Bible, the Old Testament, there's 39 books, right? 39 books in the Old Testament. 17 of those are historical books that tell the story of Israel, okay? 5 of those are poetical, and then the rest of them are prophetical. And so the 17, out of the 17 historical books, stay with me, I know it's a lot of information, there are 11 primary books. 11 primary books. And what does that mean? Those 11 specific books tell the story of Israel. It follows the story of these people, of God's chosen people, of their hard times, the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of ugly, and there's a lot of mess ups. And there's a lot of time where God reveals himself to these people and they say, forget you, even though you have shown yourself to me, I'm going to go the other way. And yet God remains faithful time and time again. And so my second point is we relate to Israel more than we think. You see, we are the Israelites in this situation. How does the Old Testament relate to us today? Isn't it right that we turn our backs on God? Isn't it right that when we're not abiding with him and we're not living for him and to serve others, to serve our King, that we have said, hey, I want a relationship with you, Jesus. I want to live for you. And yet I choose myself every day. Be selfish, disobey my parents, be disrespectful to teachers, my family members, and do that consistently, right? Without any repentance or without any of conviction of saying, hey, I actually want to change. I want to live my life differently. Jesus, how did you live your life? Without that, we are choosing ourselves just like Israel did in the Old Testament. When they said, God, you have shown yourself to us, but we don't want that right now. We're going to do our own thing. And they run the other way. And so this Old Testament tells the story of this rebellious people. And yet God still saves them. God still chases and pursues them and saves them from enemies, pulls them out and saves them. It provides a land for them, as you'll learn next week. He does so much because his character is revealed through the Old Testament. And so my last point is, in order to truly know God, we must know his character. We have to. And how do we know his character? The Old Testament reveals who God is from the beginning of time. Not just when Jesus showed up. Okay, we know that name. We hear it every week on Sunday. But why did he come? What was his purpose? Where did he come from? Because God used the people of Israel to prove himself of saying, hey, I have a plan for you. Listen, I know you're rebelling. I know you're going through hard times. I know the situation you're in right now may be so confusing. You may not know where I am in this moment. But I promise I have something greater coming. I have a savior. I have a king, an eternal king that will sit on the throne for you because you are my people and I love you. And so the Old Testament is a warm up in a sense, is a preparation for Jesus. It's setting the stage for who Jesus Christ is as the king of the Jews who are the Israelites. It's in preparation of this Messiah to save this chosen people from the rebellion and from all the sin and things they're living in and the sinful nature they're living in, to save them from the oppression of enemies. And Jesus is that for today, is that for us today as well. Because God, who he was then, is who he is today and will be forevermore, because that's his character. Y'all with me? And so I want to just reveal that to us really quickly before we close. And so I want to, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 27, verse 46, really quickly. Turn to Matthew 27, 46. And this is amazing. This is a story we all know. Hopefully we've all heard, right? This Jesus Christ figure that died on a cross. And so this is the point of his crucifixion. This is the picture of him being crucified. This is the passage of it. So Jesus is on the cross. It says in the 9th hour, he is about to die. And he says this one phrase that was just kind of honestly went over a lot of people's heads, I bet. And they're like, wait a minute. What's he talking about? Who is he asking that to? Who is he talking about? And he says this. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Wait, what? Like, this is the Son of God. He's been telling these people, listen to me. I am the Son of God. I've come to save you. Follow me. Follow me. There is life to be found in a relationship with the God our Father. And yet here he is on the cross saying, Father, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? You've forgotten me. Imagine, let's put ourselves in the Israelite or the Jews. Let's put ourselves in their situation around the cross. They're seeing this figure, this perfect man in front of them that lived for them, that says all these things, and he gives his life for them, and then he says, why have you forsaken me? Imagine you sitting there and you'd be like, what the heck? Like, who's he talking about? Yeah, like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And yet, look at this. A lot of these Jews have heard those words before. And Jesus was calling them to remember those words of David found in Psalm 22 in the Old Testament. In Psalm 22:1, David is writing a song. David is writing his psalm, and he opens up with those very words. God, why have you forsaken me? To the choir master, yeah. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And so these Jews are like, wait a minute. I've heard this before. And all of us this morning, wait a minute. You're saying that Matthew 27 is, Jesus is referring back to the Old Testament, to Psalm 22? Yes. But wait a minute. The story does not end there. The story does not end there. Jesus is not saying God has forsaken me. Jesus is saying, finish that psalm. Finish that story. What's the end of that story? What is the end of David's song to the Lord? Look at this. The end of 22, Psalm 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. This is what Jesus is calling his people to say. Listen, I may be dead, but this is, I'm launching y'all to praise this, to go and live this out. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, we just learned who that is, right? The Israelites, those people around the cross. Glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. One of the next, sorry, the next. Yeah, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him. And Jesus is right there. God had not hidden his face from Jesus on the cross. God had not forgotten David when he was running, when he was writing this, 1,000 years before. But he has heard when he cried to him, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. And then listen to this. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Let that sink in. That 1,000 years before Jesus died for us on the cross, that David wrote those very words, almost foreshadowing of Jesus' death. And there's Jesus saying, hey, listen, I may be dying. I may be dying, but this is what it's for, that all the nations shall praise the name of the Lord. Do you see how the comparison is? Do you see the connection between the Old Testament and the New? Everything was pointing to that moment. Everything was pointing to Jesus Christ. 39 books in the Old Testament, 11 books that were just for Israel to follow these people, including David, who was one of them, was a king, that Jesus was even a better David and saying, listen, I have saved you. I'm perfect. I lived a perfect life to save all of us this morning. And he desires a relationship with you, to reveal his character to you today about that. And the Old Testament reveals who our God truly is. And so I want to show this video that sums it all up for me, and then we're done. So let's watch this. And yeah, it's amazing. So I hope you all enjoy it. How good was that? Did a much better job in 3 minutes. Explaining that whole story than I could ever do with 3 days. All in that 3 minute video just gave us such a great example and a picture of what the Bible is for and how it can apply to our lives, and that it's all pointing to Jesus, the Savior of these people, the Savior for us to this present day. And so if any of y'all have any questions about, man, how do I even navigate the Old Testament? I want to dig deeper. I want to learn more about it. I have questions about what Garrison may have said, what Garrison said this morning or on Sunday. Maybe it's that small group on Wednesday night that you're like, man, I didn't understand this. Listen, I want to provide an opportunity for you to say, all of our small group leaders, all of our leaders would love to talk to you through that, would love to answer some of those questions. And then some of you in this room may not know who this Jesus guy is, who we're talking about and what this Bible is talking about and who he is. And so I will be up front along with leaders as well that will be around and leaders in your small groups that can answer those questions for you about him. But if you want to know more about him, we'd love to welcome you and just talk about who Jesus is and the impact he has had in our lives, the Savior for our lives. So let me pray for us.